Good day to you, and welcome to the Kitty Podcast. We're back for season two. I hope that you are continuing to bask in the hope of what's to come for your life. We are so delighted to have you back with us for season two of the Kitty Podcast. As you know, we share information, we share tips, and we share techniques to help children and youth, their families, and educators grow and blossom. I am your host, Tracy V. McGee, and we welcome you from beautiful Lithia Springs, Georgia. The Kitty Podcast is a service of, and it is sponsored by the TJAC Educational Consulting Group. With the TJAC Educational Consulting Group, our mission is our name. TJAC, TJAC, we are taking Jesus across communities. And we do this through the provision of educational services. The TJAC group is made up of eight educational services designed to strengthen the educational community. So we work directly with churches, with school districts, and with licensed child care centers and after-school programs. The Kitty Podcast is an offshoot of our Well-Able Training Service. It gives us an opportunity to speak directly to you about some areas where we do our training. We now have three shows because we are growing. So we have the Kitty Podcast, where this season we're going to be talking about hope. During this season, we will also continue our quest on working through safe environments in our schools by having peaceful environments. So we're going to talk about peace. And as we'll discuss later in our show today, we also have our Camp CDA for the Child Development Associate credential for individuals who really are interested and working with young children and receiving a national credential. So we've got a lot going on here at the Kitty Podcast, and we're so excited that you are here. We hope to be able to empower you and those that you recommend to our show. The show is designed for children, youth, and adults alike. We do thank you again that during season one, you joined us for our podcast on hope. Along with our special guests, we talked about different aspects of hope, and we talked about our hope experiences. If you missed any of our episodes, we invite you to visit thekittypodcast.com. That's our website. thekittypodcast.com, thekittypodcast.com. This way you'll get to hear about what our guests have shared during their hope experiences. And again, this season, we'll talk about hope, but we will also be spending a lot of time talking about peace as it relates to our educational communities. We want our children, we want our educators to be able to be in environments where they are safe. And peace is a major aspect of developing that safety. For as long as I can remember, peace has always been very important to me. I love to chill. I love calm. I love tranquility. I love the absence of chaos. Peace. I love peace, and not just a piece of peace. I love whole peace. I love peace in every aspect of my life. I love peace from the time I wake up in the morning until I go to bed at night. I don't want to argue. I don't want to fuss. I don't want to fight. I want to chill. And so for me, part of my peace is the sound of laughter. I love the sound of laughter, especially my own. And not that phony, fake laughter. No. I like that belly roll laughter where it is coming from deep down inside of you. That's usually the result of peaceful living. I appreciate the fact that you can't buy peace. That's not something that you can get from Kroger. That's not something that you can get from Sam's. Now, you can buy some things to add to your peace, but you can't buy peace at the store. Peace is an authentic gift from God. In our weekly prayer for educators, today we talked about how peace is discussed in the Bible on multiple occasions. We were told in the Bible that we should pursue peace with other people. Make it your business to be peaceful and not cause confusion and not be overly reactive and dramatic. But, Usa, have some peace. Bring it down a notch. I've discovered that peace is not the absence of challenges in our lives. However, peace does make those challenges bearable. So we have several questions that we share with our guests who come on our show throughout the season. And I want to kind of deal with one of those questions and then a portion of another one of those questions. So the first question is, where do you observe peace in nature? So I'm interviewing myself today. When I need to enhance my level of peace, when I need to bring my peacefulness up a notch, I either go to the park or to the beach. And I expect that this response will be different for different listeners and different guests. But just take a moment and think, where do you find the most peace? Our guest that'll be on the show next week had a very, very interesting response to this question. I can't wait till you hear it. So you have to tune in next Monday to be able to hear what he had to say. But for me, it's the park or it's the beach. I can vividly recall when my dad, too, when he was at the end of his earthly journey, and I didn't want to come back to Georgia from Pennsylvania in the hope that I could do something to make it better, that I could say something, that I could cook something just right so that I would not have to live out my present reality. One day, it was time for me to come home. And we were at the doctor's appointment, at a doctor's appointment, and it was obvious that he and I were attempting to control the inevitable. And I was saying things like, I may not have to leave right now. I probably could stay a little while longer. And they were deciding whether or not to put Dad to in the hospital or not. And they said, you know what? Go home. Tracy leaves on Friday. This was like a Tuesday. Tracy leaves on Friday and then come back, and then we're going to put you in the hospital. And the key was Tracy is going home on Friday. And in Tracy's mind, that's me, I'm thinking, I don't have to go home right now. So I was standing in the hallway. And the doctor sent his nurses out to have a conversation with me to talk to me about chronic and terminal illness. Now, I understood both terms. I knew what chronic illness meant, I knew what terminal illness meant. I understood both. But For me, this was a living nightmare. And I just couldn't believe that this was happening in our lives. And so the nurses are talking to me, and finally I was like, I get it. I know what you're saying. And the nurse looked at me and said, Miss McGee, it is time for you to go home. Your dad is going to die, and you must get on with your life. That was such an emotional day for me because even in peace, it was a painful reality. And I can remember, like, the tears just would not stop coming. And my dad, too, and my mom and I, we were driving back home from the doctor's office, and the tears are just rolling down my face. I wasn't talking, I was just crying. I never even told my parents what the nurses said to me. And out of nowhere, Dad too reaches over and he takes my hand and he held my hand for just about the rest of the trip back to the house. We never said a word, but we both understood that this reality was just that. So, in peace, you can still live life, but there's something about living your life in peace that can make things that seem unbearable, that seem nightmarish, a little bit better. Having peace in my life at that moment didn't change the reality, didn't stop the tears. However, it did give me the common sense to say, you need to take a ride to Brunswick, Georgia. You need to go and hang out on St. Simon's Island for a moment. That's one of my happy places. That's one of the places when I need to make a serious decision, you can probably find me on St. Simon's Island, walking the beach, not jumping over waves, not racing out against the waves, but walking on the beach, having a little talk with Jesus, telling him all about my troubles, trusting that he will hear my faintest cry and he will answer by and by. I hung out on that island for several days, and each day I walked on the beach and my prayer changed. As I went, it changed from, please, please, please don't let this happen, to please give me the strength to get through this nightmare. By the time I left St. Simon's, I had accepted the truth of my present reality. And somewhere between listening to the waves and having sand between my toes, I started to believe that I was going to be able to make it. I could hear God building me up. I could feel God's presence in that situation through the waves and the sand between my toes. Was it difficult? Yes. Did I make it through with tears in my eyes? Yes. Truth be told, I even got pretty sick after. Do I have peace now when I think about that season in my life? I absolutely do. Do I trust God more than I did before I went through that experience? Absolutely. My peace-filled happy place, aka the beach, helped me to make it through. So I hope you'll join me and our guests this season as you explore where you find peace in nature. Where is that place that you need to go to when you are needing to retreat, having to deal with life's difficult moments and looking for your peace. Because sometimes your peace needs to step up a notch. You need to take it to another level. Otherwise, you'll deplete your peace. And that's not what you want to do. In order to have peace with others, you first must have peace within yourself. So we look forward to navigating this peace journey with you over this season. And we hope that you'll share your stories with us. I want to pivot over and discuss a couple of results of peace. So the best result that we have on our list for peace is love. I personally love people, places, and things that bring me peace. Planting and cultivating a vegetable garden brings me peace. I love it. I tolerate the vegetables that do not grow because everything I plant doesn't grow. Some things do. But I love the vegetables that do grow. The ones that go from my garden to my table, the tomatoes that come out perfectly red, the zucchini that I get to fry in my own pan. I love it. For the ones that don't grow, we'll just pray over those seeds again next year. And we'll see what happens. But that is something that brings me peace, is growing a vegetable garden. I love going to football games with my daughter, even when our team doesn't win. The peace exists in our spending quality time together. I tolerate people, places, and things that hinder my peace. But I limit the amount of time that I spend with those peace breakers. So if you're into arguing, fussing, cussing, and carrying on, I probably will not spend as much time with you as I will the one that enjoys the sound of their own laughter. Because if I allow my peace to be depleted, I'm going to work extra hard to build it back up again. So sometimes it's not you that's eliminating your peace. It could be the people, places, and things that you surround yourself with. Be careful. Just something to think about. So order. Order is another result of peace. And I did find a definition for order. Order is defined as a state in which everything is correct, is in its correct or appropriate place. Order is defined as a state in which everything is in its correct or appropriate place. I was talking to my daughter last week, and she had written a poem where she focused on and studied the creation story. And she looked at the order in which water came into being. And when she was challenged in class, she was like, no, that wasn't the correct order. There's a correct order for how God did everything when he created the heavens and the earth. And so order, since before the world was created, was important to God because over those 6 days, everything went in its place. And so I enjoyed that lesson from my daughter because we all, well, not all, but many of us will read that first two chapters of Genesis just to try to find out, how did this whole thing work? How did this whole thing come to being? How did it happen? And If order is important to God, I want the things that are important to God to be important to me. And so I try to live my life in a certain order. I do also try not to be fixated on the moments when I get out of the order, because I can be very regimental. Do this, do this, do this, and then do this. When I wake up in the morning, I know I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But then the phone might ring, and it may be someone that I need to speak with. And I answer the phone, and it kind of throws the order off a little bit. Or I go to write a paper and then realize I'm missing a source. So order can get thrown off, but it's how I react to it. As an educator, I have found that learning is an ordered function that works well for both children and adults. Children and adults appreciate and they work diligently, whether it's in a physical or a virtual classroom, when the educator keeps things in order. Learning that builds on previously learned information provides opportunities for the learning of new information. They're able to master what they're going to learn based on what they're learning now and what they learned previously. When students understand what is expected of them, order results inside of the classroom. Peace is experienced because order is present. When you have a learning environment where you're providing lessons to your children, when you're giving your students their steps to success, there's peace in their life. When they don't feel like, I just don't get it. Help me. And you're so concerned with the order of how things have to get done that you forget to help that student. Sometimes you may experience a little chaos. The student gets angry. The student gets frustrated. The student doesn't want to do anymore. And so sometimes you'll have to step out of your order because we had a hiccup and we needed to help someone a little bit more. Sometimes the order moves too slow for some students, and you need to have additional work for them to be able to practice on while you're working with the student who did not get it just then. All of these things are built into your plan of creating order and peace in your classroom. I love having learning environments where our students are experiencing success. When they are learning information that is built on what they've previously learned, and now they're mastering it. That's important for our students. When students understand what's being taught to them, they're able to learn in peace. I believe most educators want a peace-filled classroom where they can teach and the children or adults, in some of our cases, are actually learning. As we continue on our peace journey, we're going to explore additional results of peace. We invite you to share your results of peace that we may explore. We also invite you to share with our audience as one of our special guests. If you love living in peace and you have this thing down packed, contact us. Send us an email requesting to be one of our special guests. Our email address is thekittypodcast@gmail.com. Thekittypodcast, thekiddiepodcast at gmail.com. So you have our website, thekittypodcast.com, and you have our email address, thekittypodcast@gmail.com. You're also invited to visit us on our sister podcast, Camp CDA, which airs on Wednesdays at 12:15 p.m. The Child Development Associate Credential, excuse me, is a national credential that allows individuals to work with young children birth through age 5. And we look forward to having you join us. If you know someone who's looking to work with young children and they need the credential, send them on over to our podcast. We'd love to get them started. It feels so good to be back with you for season 2 of the Kitty Podcast. Listen, it is our hope that you will live a peace-filled life by being helpful, healthy, and hopeful. May the Lord bless you and keep you is always our prayer. Have a great week. See you next Monday.